Welcome to the Watering Hole Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Riemann. The Watering Hole is a place to come and quench your thirst for meaning, nourish your hunger for inspiration, and feed your need for connection. Featuring inspirational talks, curious conversations, mystical meditations, and other artistic expressions, exploring themes on life, spirituality, nature, mystery, and so much more. So meet me at the Watering Hole, and together, let's drink from deep waters. For today's reflection, I want to begin with a writing by Henry Nouwen. He writes, "One day I was sitting with Rodley, the leader of a famous trapeze troupe, in his caravan talking about flying. He said, 'As a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public might think that I'm the great star of the trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. Joe has to be there for me with split-second precision and grab me out of the air as I come to him in the long jump.' 'How does it work?' I asked. 'The secret,' Rodley said, 'is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, I have simply to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me safely over the apron behind the catch bar.' 'You do nothing?' I said, surprised. 'Nothing,' Rodley repeated. 'The worst thing the flyer can do is to try to catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch Joe. It's Joe's task to catch me. If I grabbed Joe's wrists, I might break them, or he might break mine, and that would be the end for both of us. A flyer must fly, and a catcher must catch, and the flyer must trust, with outstretched arms, that his catcher will be there for him."
Life, it seems, makes trapeze artists of all of us. There's not one among us who hasn't had to risk something. There's not one among us who hasn't been or won't be pushed out of the nest at some time, right? It's part of our life. We may not have a Joe, or we might have a Joe, but all of us are flyers. All of us are flyers. But we live in a culture that tells us that trust is something that has to be earned. And while I agree that once trust has been broken, it must be earned again, I do believe that trust is something inherent within us. A baby is born trusting that it will get what it needs to survive. It may or may not, of course, as we know. But it believes because the connection through which it came into being was there from its start that it will be there upon its birth into the world. I mean, you know, I don't think baby's thinking that, but you know what I'm saying. It's relying on that. But unless we know who we really are, right? Unless we know that at our core we can trust ourselves, that we can trust life to do its thing, we tend to cling to our fear, our biases, our likes and our dislikes as if they are reliable and dependable, trustworthy, even permanent definitions or measures of who we are, even though we know how easily those things change. Trust is built with consistency. And basic trust can be cultivated by doing that simple meditation and recognizing that our body does what it does without our deciding to do it. If we had to decide our heart to beat, all of us would be dead. Because we forget. right? If we have had to decide to breathe, it happens without our consciousness, without our knowing. It does what it does. We can trust that. One time I went to the Hermitage. There's a Hermitage that I visit regularly. And I remember being there. It was one of the early times I went. I had one book. I had no music. It was silence for 10 days. And that kind of silence can slow a person down, which is nice, which is why I go. So I can reconnect with myself, myself, capital S, remembering who I am, right? And I remember one day, because I fasted mostly and just ate a little bit, my awareness being drawn to how sacred that process is of being able to eat, to trust your body to do what it's going to do, to expel what it doesn't need, and that it all returns back to earth, right? There is no separation. In creation spirituality, we call this process of life, we identify it with the four paths. We call them the four vias, or the four paths of creation spirituality. They are the via positiva, which is blessing, right? It's the foundational, life is a blessing, life is a gift. And then there's the via negativa, and that says that we all suffer, that life also involves suffering, that there is loss. And then there's the via creativa, which tells us that out of that original blessing and out of those losses, new life can come. And that new life will transform us. And that last path is called the via transformativa. Basically, what it tells us is that life is a process, that the universe is a process, and that you and I are integral and integrated into that process. We are not separate from it. So birth, life, growth, death, resurrection is happening in our bodies all the time. And it's happening in our relationships, and it's happening in our lives. So we can trust it. We get stuck sometimes when we get stuck on a path and we want it just to stay that way, or we want to avoid it, right? If sometimes we're in the via positiva and it's like, man, if this could just stay this way, everything's great. Life is good. And then something happens and we hit that via negativa. We lose a job. We get a divorce. Somebody we love dies. We lose some of our own ability. And we start to believe that life sucks. And we can get stuck there. But creation spirituality tells us life goes on. There is no really getting stuck. And that after loss, after death, new life is promised. And we've got 14.5 billion years of history showing us that life is promised. That out of the death of stars, you and I came to be. It is one process, and it moves through us, and we move through it. And we are not separate from it. And that is the core. That is the essence of who we are. So life is our Joe. Life is the catcher. Life will catch us every time. How do we know? Because here we are. And all of us have fallen. All of us. And all of us have been betrayed in one way or another. And all of us have probably betrayed ourselves in one way or another. When I was younger, I didn't know how to say no. And I would often find myself saying what I thought other people wanted me to say. That's a horrible way to live. It's just a horrible way to live. Because I would say, somebody would ask me to do something, and I would say yes, and the whole time I knew I meant no. And so then I'd spend the whole next time until we got together figuring out the lie that I was going to tell them for the reason I couldn't get together, because I wanted to stay home. Right? Rightly. I had to start with myself. I mean, there was something that happened to me. Like, I finally woke up and was like, well, Of course my friends are upset with me. Of course they're saying they can't trust me, they can't rely on me, because they can't. And so I started to change. And I started to say yes to what I meant to say yes to and no to what I wanted to say no to. And it was hard. It was a risk. It was me jumping off the flying trapeze saying, will you still love me if I don't do what you want? Will you still catch me? How many of us do it? And you know what? Life still caught me. And it gave me another chance to become the person I wanted to be. And I want to be. Life will catch us again and again and again. It doesn't mean that we always land easily. It doesn't mean that life doesn't catch us and be like, oh, sorry, slammed you into the side of the mountain. Because we have those experiences. But that's life. And part of what we have to do is be real about it. I mean, let's be real about it. Betrayal is not the worst thing in the world. It's not nice, but it's not the worst thing in the world. And again, how do we know that? Because we're here. We survived it. All of us. All of us. And it's time that we stop saying things like, that betrayal, I'm never going to love again. I mean, you can. Go right ahead. Withhold yourself, but what harm are you doing? We're doing it to ourselves. We can say, you know, things like, they can't be trusted. And it's not that we trust people who have shown us otherwise, right? My friends were right to be like, Mary, we can't trust you. You're going to say you're going to come, and then we know you're not going to be there. And they were right to not trust me. And they gave me a gift by calling me on it. Because that is when I started to change. Because I don't want to be that person. I did not want to be that person. So trust begins by remembering that we are not outside of life. We are not outside of nature. We are not outside of the cosmos. We are the cosmos. We are that process, that 14.5 billion years of process of coalescing polar opposites to bring forth something new. That's us. And if we can come back to that reality, then my God, we have the capacity to survive a lot more than we think we can. And not only that, but we can trust the unfolding because we know that at our essence, we're going to be okay. We might be changed, but we'll be okay. You know, and life will teach us that if we're mindful enough. I think about the ability I was given, the gift I was given to walk with my mom to her death. 18 months she was diagnosed until her death. And what a gift that was for me, because after that experience, I could say to myself, wow, I'm going to be all right. You know, something horrible can happen to me, and I'm going to be okay. I can have a excruciating loss. I can watch excruciating suffering, and I can be okay. As some of you know, my aunt died suddenly 2 weeks ago, and every Sunday I light a candle for my friend Amy Lopez. My aunt died suddenly, and my friend Amy's husband died suddenly about 10 months ago. And I light a candle for her because I want her to know that we can catch her. And I don't know, because I've never had that experience of losing somebody that close to me, that suddenly that I could do that, that I could wake up every day and live life again. And my friend Amy is showing me how to do it. And she's trusting. And it's hard. And I see her struggling. But I've also seen people who have, after a loss like that, shut down. And they say, I can't go on without that person. I can't trust life to do right by me. And I've seen those people. They're not living. And they're not dying. They're merely existing. And life is stilted for them. And the reality is that deep down in that inner nature and that self of self, the essence of who we are and that spark of the divine, it cannot be wounded. It cannot be wounded. And so if we can remember that, then we remember that when we are feeling hurt, it's our ego. It doesn't mean the hurt's not real, but it does mean that at some level it's somewhat superficial, right? It's not a mortal wound. It's not gonna put out the spark of the divine that lives in us. The universe tells us, even if we die, we get recycled. Right? So there's no snuffing us out. There's no snuffing us out. That's what we have to remember. That's who we really are. And it's same when we betray somebody. When I was betraying my friends, it wasn't my authentic self. I wasn't coming from my essence. I was coming from my ego, from being worried about what other people would think of me if I just said, you know what, I want to stay home. I want to go to bed. I want to put my pajamas on. It's ego. And we've got to recognize that there is a difference. There is a difference. And we can come from our authentic self all the time. But it takes mindfulness. It takes a willingness to be intentional about what we're doing. And to come back to this, right? This is basic trust. My girl said to me this week when we were preparing and we're talking about this, she called it the platinum rule. She goes, it's been gold a long time. Surely by now it's made platinum. But right, this is the basis of trust in community. It's the remembering that I am you and you are me, and that you feel like I feel, that you suffer like I suffer. And if we can embody that, if we could remember, if we could do each other the gift of not looking at each other ego to ego, but authentic self to authentic self, we wouldn't have to be called back to this, because it would be a very natural unfolding for us. Because we realize there is no separation. We are one with everything and everyone. And that is powerful stuff, right? So instead of taking a leap of faith for an off-planet God who might, we think, might come down and rescue us, let's take a leap of faith in ourselves. Let's remember who we really are. We are the universe. And in every moment, birth, life, death, and resurrection are happening in every single moment right now. Feel it? It's happening in us. We live in a time when distrust seems to be the law of the day. And look what it's doing to us. And look what we're doing to the earth because of it. Maya Angelou says, have enough courage to trust love one more time, and one more time, and one more time, and one more time. We're here to love. Trust is what allows us to do it. It's what allows us to come outside of ourselves and remember that we are all of that which we see outside of ourselves. So we can trust. We can trust one another. But we've got to remember that deep down inside of you is the same thing that's inside of me, the heart of the cosmos, the heart of life. And life will catch us. So fly, people. Fly. We got things to do. And we can only do them with wings. We need to use our wings. And we've got them. So let's use them. And let's show the world that we can trust not only ourselves, but each other. Isn't that what we're going for? To really try to love one another heart to heart, mind to mind. We can do it. We have to do it. So let's trust that that's what we want for each other, that we want the best for each other, and that we can be each other's catchers.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I look forward to meeting you right back here at the watering hole. And as Mary Oliver said, go easy, be filled with light, and shine.